97.5 The Fanatic.
Yeah, let the big dog hunt. Joe Stajak in the house with you till 6 o'clock tonight. Following up Rob Motti. Phenomenal show by him. Talking birds, football. It's been about 7 days since the Eagles were eliminated. They got tapped on the shoulder, asked to leave the big dance. So we are officially in the offseason for the Philadelphia Eagles. I wasn't here this past week. Went to see my mom in the hospital, not doing well, but didn't get a chance to be on the air. Obviously, I watched the game. I haven't had a chance to break it down with anyone. Well, I've broken it down with some people, just not on the air. So I missed an opportunity to do that. I won't go back and break down, you know, all the nuances of the game and whatever. But I thought it was an interesting game. A lot to talk about afterwards. You know, the whole Carson Wentz, just 1 of 4. I think he took 8 or 9 snaps. Josh McCown, nice job. Except for one thing he did that no quarterback should do that's been in the league 2 years or more, and maybe even rookies, but I'll get to that in a little bit. Miles Sanders, a decent game. Russell Wilson's just Russell Wilson. And I know it hurt even more that DK Metcalf was making those big catches because we got our guy. We got JJAW. Come on. Huh? He made a big catch that was called back on by a penalty. Yeah, that hurt a little bit more. And the Cayunis on the Seahawks to throw a 50-yard pass on 3rd and 10 with about 1:45 left. They just deserve to win. Unfortunately, I think the Eagles win that game if Carson Wentz is in the game. I think that's a sentiment that most people share around here. It's just unfortunate what happened and the Jadeveon Clowney thing. And I know Rob was setting me up a little bit talking about the hits, the no fine. Obviously, there was no penalty. And Doug Peterson was asked about it, and he didn't. He was very light on Jadeveon Clowney, not very aggressive. Didn't call for this. Didn't call it a cheap shop, or say he should be fined this, or you know, throw his hat. Nothing like that. Rob brought up an interesting reason why that might be, because he is a free agent in the offseason, and maybe they want to go after him. Yeah, that could create a little bit of bad blood, I would say, if you're about to negotiate a contract, a long contract with a guy, and you're hammering him like 3 days before. So that's interesting. I don't know if he'll go after Jadeveon Clowney. He wasn't Khalil Mack this year. He was okay. He was disruptive. He was hurt a little bit. He's still a guy. It's like 3 times better than anybody this team has in terms of attacking the quarterback. In terms of attacking the quarterback, 1 sack on Russell Wilson, guys, in a playoff game. 1 sack. Seahawks had 28 sacks coming into the game. 28 sacks, 3rd to last in the league. They sacked us six times. 6 times. We got 1 sack. We blitzed. Russell Wilson did everything he could to avoid it. When there was a 4-man rush, not a lot of pressure. He stood back there forever, guys. And when he did get some pressure, he obviously knows how to avoid it and break the pocket. And he's very good throwing on the run. He's also good running on the run. So it was unfortunate. I thought the Eagles had squandered a good opportunity to at least make it to the divisional round, where I think their season would have ended this weekend as well, because there's only so much you can do with what you're given. We'll get into the wide receivers in a little bit and the wide receivers that are available, the wide receivers that were picked after J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, and we can lament that a little bit more. I'll talk about the defense and whether you want Jim Schwartz back. Talk about some of the free agents that the Eagles have and who do you want back. Some other little notes and tidbits. And we'll rock and roll Eagles today. Eagles all day. 610-632-0975. Let's get right to it. Jimmy from Mount Holly on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Jimmy?
So you know how we have Never Nervous Nicky?
Yes.
We now have, he's no longer a jerk, Kirk. You know what sucks about all of this, Joe? We could have been hosting the NFC title game. I mean, we both agree that we would have won if Wentz didn't get hurt. And this paper tiger, which is the Green Bay Packers, are going to get beat by Seattle, I'm convinced.
I have Seattle today, too. I have Seattle in that game.
Yeah, so it is. So, I mean, look, Green Bay almost did what New England did in Week 17, only they came from behind and actually won.
Right.
Against a piece of slop. I mean, it really sucks because Carson, I mean, he would have won that game. I mean, look at the way McCown moved that team in between the 20s. Carson would have finished, and then we'd have been off to Green Bay. I mean, I've been listening since it happened. I have no idea why anybody doesn't think that it was a dirty, filthy, intent to injure cheap shot. I mean, I'm listening to ex-athletes with shows, I mean, covering for Clowney because of the quote-unquote brotherhood of football. They don't want to accuse their football brother of doing something wicked like that. But my question is, I mean, isn't Carson Wentz a football player? I mean, he was a victim of an attack where we hit helmet to helmet. I mean, when you come in as a missile, I mean, you know all about concussions if you're Jadeveon Clowney, all
sure,
about them. You come in the way he did, I mean, it was an absolute attempt to injure it. I mean, it sucks. It really does. I mean, the thing is, I'm going to be so happy when Seattle loses because I think he's no longer a jerk. Kirk goes to the Super Bowl.
I got to be honest. I'm rooting for Seattle. I know Jadeveon Clowney plays for him, but I love Russell Wilson. I just need to see more of him this year. And I'm done with Aaron Rodgers and San Francisco. We'll see what they do. But I'm actually rooting for Seattle. Seattle's not going to go very far. If they win this weekend, they'll probably get bounced. I think San Fran might be going to the Super Bowl. But, it was definitely a dirty hit. It was a dirty hit. He I'm not going to say he targeted, but he leaned his head down and pounced on him. He pounced on Wentz with his helmet.
Yeah, Joe, just really quickly back to Cousins and all of that. I don't think people quite understand what an awesome victory that was. First of all, if you remember when San Francisco beat New Orleans went on a tear after that. They looked like the 78 Steelers thing. I'll tell you what, William Hill, I just heard this morning. In the history of William Hill, this was the individually biggest score in one sporting event ever, and they've been around for like 80 or 90 years. Everybody, including me, I thought New Orleans was going to roll in that game. So, I mean, this was a really great win by Cousins. I mean, it wasn't a fluke or anything like that. And I think what me and you as sports fans for years are watching a complete metamorphosis, a guy that went from being a total stiff to a guy that, you know, is missed a clutch.
Yeah, I have to see a little bit more of it, but I'm with you, Jimmy. I mean, he was 0-15 in big games before then, but no bigger of a game could he play, and no better could he play against the New Orleans defense. And I mean, even the fade to Kyle Rudolph, only where his receiver can catch the ball after he hits Thielen on the bomb over his shoulder. I mean, he was clutch. You know, you have one opportunity to go down the field and score, the game's over. You don't have to give the ball back. And that's what he did. I thought it was pretty impressive. We like our boy, don't we? What do you call him?
Joe, think about this, too. San Francisco, and I love Joe Torti. I was listening to the show. I mean,
who doesn't?
San Francisco. Yeah, well, I mean, as a commentator.
No, I know.
Have no fear.
I know.
But anyway, I mean, he made a statement that I emphatically disagree with about how San Francisco is the best team in the NFC. They may have been for the first half. But if you think about this Niner team since that Monday night loss against Seattle. This is a very pedestrian since then, and especially down the stretch. This is a team that can be had and plucked. And Garoppolo, it's his first playoff start. I mean, I take the Vikings outright today. Is Callis Reports coming on?
He's coming on at 3:40.
Oh, I'm going to be listening. I'll tell you, I want to get his picks really quick. I like Minnesota, Baltimore, Kansas City, the Seahawks, and give me Tavo Sweeney all night long.
All right.
6 points.
That's what I think you're right in line with my picks there, brother, but we'll get to them a little later. I appreciate it, Jimmy. Enjoy your weekend watching football. Connor, what was is Never Nervous Nicky and Never a Jerk Turk or something like that? Or Kirk? I forgot what he was calling him. But, he knows Kirk Cousins is my boy. And Steve Kautz, we've always been big fans of his. But then he would come up, you know, he'd lay an egg in big games. And he was awful in the fourth game of the season, I think it was. He had his own receivers ripping him. And then he comes back with a monster game. And, you know, he goes 19 of 31, 242 with a touchdown, only sacked twice. But, the throws in overtime to Thielen and then to Kyle Rudolph on third down. Remember, they lost 4 yards on the first play because they had first and goal at the 2 or the 1. They got stuffed, and they got stuffed again. So now he has to throw. Now, and the defense knows he has to throw. Great call, too, because he saw a kind of coverage that he liked and went to Rudolph, and I thought it was phenomenal. I did think it was offensive pass interference. I got to be honest. If I'm reviewing that call, I'm actually going to make that call. he extended his arm. And that's what they usually go by. They go by if a defender, because there's always pushing, grabbing, and shoving. But if you extend your arm, and that's it should be on the, like, the manual. It should be on the video manual of what defensive pass offensive pass interference is. I know it's overtime of a wild card playoff game, a phenomenal one. It's the winning catch and whatever, but you know, you don't even need to push a defender. All you need to do is stop him. And that was enough. I mean, does he catch the ball anyway? I don't know. He has about 6 inches on the kid, but you know, that's something that it's amazing that Sean Payton hasn't shot himself yet. Three straight seasons, his season has ended on the final play. Three straight seasons. Two of them among review or interference controversy. So the first one was Stephon Diggs, the most ridiculous finish you'll ever see. Case Keenum hits him with that pass down the sideline. He scores the touchdown. That's what sent Minnesota off to Philly, and we took care of them 38-7. The next year is the Rams game with the interference. It wasn't called. They lose in overtime to, Zerline bangs like a 46-yarder through in overtime, and the Rams go on to the Super Bowl. And then this year, they lose in overtime on a play that, all right, he spearheaded the charge to get offensive and defensive pass interference reviewable. He gets it reviewable, and they miss the call. I'm sorry, you can say what you want. Yeah, I know it's that, you know, keep your whistles in your pockets, and you're not going to overturn things. That's like, why not? That was defensive pass interference. All right? That was defensive pass interference, and he gets the reviews. It's now implemented. It's part of the game, and they, I'm sure, according to him, they still don't get it right. And, you know, I'm not a big Sean Payton fan. Big Drew Brees fan, but not a big Sean Payton fan, so that's fine. Go sit on your couch and eat Ben and Jerry's for the next 3 months. Anyway, back to the Eagles. And we will get, Steve Callis is coming on a little later today. He's going to, about 3:40, we'll talk a little Eagles, but then he's going to go around the league and give us a quick little projection or assessment or breakdown of each game that's going on today. We've got the Vikes and the 49ers, Titans at the Ravens, and tomorrow you have the Texans at the Chiefs. Chiefs 9.5-point favorite. Seahawks at the Pack. Pack 4.5 to 5-point favorite. I have Seattle in that game. Tennessee, the Vikes, and the Ravens. I think the Ravens roll. I think the Ravens roll Tennessee. Paper Tiger, Tennessee, Tannehill, and they'll just shut down Derrick Henry. They'll be fine. Lamar Jackson will be fine. That team is a juggernaut. That team is a juggernaut. Not that they can't be stopped, but I think that team's going to roll. They have the bye, you know, home field throughout. They just needed to win two home games, and they're in the Super Bowl. John Harbaugh has the experience. So, you know, that should be interesting. But, yeah, a lot of good games. And I know championship weekend is like everybody's favorite weekend, which is next weekend. I like this weekend to get the championship weekend. Because then you still have games on Saturday, and you still have games on Sunday, and they stretch it out. You got 7-8 hours on one day, you got 7-8 hours on the next. And then next week it's just two games. It's like 3:30 and then 6:20 or something like that, 3 o'clock. And I don't know why they've adjusted those, I guess, for primetime hours. But instead of the 1 and the 4:30, it's now like the 3 and the 6:30. And that's next weekend, of course, Super Bowl in 2 weeks. Eagles will not be there. Why won't they be there? Well, they had a couple injuries this year. A couple injuries took them out of the mix. You know, this is the third straight year they've had injuries that have just piled up and piled up and piled up and piled up. The most amazing thing is how they won a Super Bowl 2 years ago. With all the injuries they had, to Sproles and Peters and Wentz. I mean, the list went on and on and on, and he still came up huge. But can't do that every year. Only once in a while can you pull that rabbit out of your hat. And this year they had, this was the third straight year with all the injuries, and 26 players missed significant time this year. 26. That's 26 out of 52. All right, that's half your team missed significant time this year. The only starters not to get hurt this season: Fletcher Cox, Malcolm Jenkins, Brandon Graham, Jason Kelsey, Rodney McLeod, Isaac Seumalo. Everyone else was hurt or got hurt. You can't win ball games like that. And I know Carson Walsh got whacked, wide receivers coach. I thought he did a phenomenal job with what he had to work with what they did down the stretch. I thought he did a phenomenal job getting these practice guys up and running. When you have J.J. Arcega-Whiteside as your only non-practice guy on the field, and that's your main guy is J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, then you have the practice players, and you still win four straight down the stretch and hung with a pretty good Seattle team. I thought he did a phenomenal job. As I do Jim Schwartz. Yeah, there are times, and there have been times, where I want to just run down on the field and strangle him with his headset for what he does or what he doesn't do. But I got to tell you what, in the last 10 games of the season, they were 4-6 before the last 10 games of the season, and that includes the Seattle game. They only gave up 18.5 points per game. That's great. You know, the magic number, you know, the defensive coordinators like to hit is 17. 17 should win you some ball games. Your offense, you should count on your offense to at least score 17 points or more. And down the stretch, I mean, well, they started off with the Bills, giving up 13 points in that game. I mean, they lost to the Pats in Seattle, only gave up 17 in those. Their offense, again, was anemic. Then, of course, the Miami game. And then, you know, they gave up 17 to the Giants, 27 to Washington, 9 to Dallas, 26 to the Giants again, and 9 to Seattle. Yeah, I know oftentimes when they play those sticks and they play prevent and they don't blitz enough and they don't get pressure, it drives you nuts, especially when they're not blitzing enough. That's something you can control. You know, sometimes you can't control a guy getting beat or a guy getting caught in a pick. Or whatever. You can control a blitz. How many times you blitz? How many times you decide to blitz? He did a little bit more of that this year, too, and it was working. Maybe he learned something this year. But I know he's up for the Browns job. Not going to happen. They don't want him in Cleveland. My goodness gracious. You should see some of the Twitter comments for Jimmy Schwartz for that Cleveland job. So he's probably not going to get that. Well, would you bring him back for you? I would. You know, I've ripped the guy for the last two and three years. Ripped him. But all in all, with what he had to work with all the injuries at cornerback and linebacker and losing Malik Jackson and having very average defensive ends, 18.5 points per game. And I thought they played real well down the stretch especially. You know, I thought they got exposed a little bit in the Seattle game, but that's just talent. That's not Jim Schwartz. I mean, Metcalf just ran by LeBlanc in overtime. That's not... Or not in overtime in the fourth quarter there on that 3rd and 10 play. That's not Jimmy Schwartz's fault. But anyway, season is over. I want to get your thoughts on the season. In fact, we have a Twitter poll up. We have a Twitter poll up I put together. The question is, and you can go on to our Twitter thing at 97.5 The Fanatic. Is that right, Connor? All right. The question is, how would you characterize the Eagles season? How would you characterize the Eagles season? A, mildly stimulating. 2, entertaining. 3, gratifying. Or 4, unwatchable. So there's 4 choices. I think I covered everything there. You know, was it mildly stimulating? At times it had some ups and downs. Was it entertaining? At times it had some ups and downs. Was it gratifying? I mean, they did make the playoffs after being 5-7, only 7th team in history to do that. It was a little gratifying that they did get into the postseason and they, you know, were part of the dance, which is always fun, or unwatchable. Because it was tough watching that offense the last few weeks of the season. And even before then, the offense wasn't very good for most of the season. But, you know, at the end of the day, because I know at the end of the day last year, you know, people forget they were 6-7 until Never Nervous Nicky took over, and it was bad football. And they go to the playoffs. They win a playoff game. They almost beat New Orleans, and everyone's thinking, that was a great season. That was phenomenal. That was so much fun. Yeah, it was for 4 or 5 games. But take the whole season into account, or if you just want to answer to how you feel right now as the season is over, as you have had 7 days to reflect. Again, the question is, how would you characterize the Eagles' season? Mildly stimulating, entertaining, gratifying, or unwatchable? You can find that on our Twitter page at 975 The Fanatic. I'm Joe Stazek. You can follow me on Twitter at Joe Stazek 975. Derek, Chris, hang in there. We'll get to you in a little bit. Steve Callis coming up at Steve 340. I'm Joe Stazek 975 The Fanatic. I'm here till 3 o'clock.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
75 The Fanatic.
All right, welcome back, folks. 328 here at 97.5, The Fanatic. I must say this. Please excuse me for my voice today. I had laryngitis yesterday. I've had a cold for a week and a half. Clearing up, feeling a lot better. But you can tell I'm starting to get a little raspy, and hopefully I can maintain at least this level of serviceability throughout the rest of the show. But forgive me, because I'm trying to beat this laryngitis. Any tips or any suggestions, please let me know. 610-632-0975. Talking about the Eagles season in a wrap. Again, the Twitter poll on our Twitter page, at 97.5 The Fanatic. How would you characterize the Eagles season? Was it mildly stimulating? I'm talking about from a viewer standpoint, a fan standpoint. Was it mildly stimulating? Was it entertaining? Was it gratifying? Or was it unwatchable? One of those four answers, and we'll keep that poll updated throughout the show, and we will rock and roll. But we're talking about, again, the wrap-up that is, we're talking about the offensive coordinator, who it should be. Should Deuce get the gig? We're talking about Jadeveon Clowney. Was it a bad hit? Why didn't Doug Peterson speak out about it a little bit more? The Twitter poll, Jimmy Schwartz, should he keep his job? The wide receiver issues, who's there, who's available, who's gone, and how many did they use this year, and how injured were they? And, of course, all the injuries. And I wanted to throw in a little Orlando Scandrick. I'm sure I'll throw it in right now. Has everyone heard this? Orlando Scandrick, he came out and ripped the team about 2 months ago. He was on Colin Cowherd and The First Take and some other those talk shows out west on Fox. Came out. He got cut the day before against Dallas when they got, boat raced. And to me, it kicked off his media career, because he wants to be a guy that's now known for being bold and saying what's on his mind, not afraid to mince his words. First of all, he had no substance. It was really no substance. He's talking about Malcolm Jenkins being selfish, and his little Colin Cowherd's like, well, selfish how? Well, the guy didn't do his job, so if I didn't take the trash out, don't you call me? What? Shut up. Give me something I can use. Give me something I can use. Anyway, that's who Orlando Scandrick is. He was a defensive back for the Eagles. Also played for the Boys back in the day. But anyway, he was just given $15,000 because he was part of this team as they won the division. Now, division winners and playoff teams get $31,000 per player. If you've played 9 games or more. If you've been on the roster 9 or more games. 3 games, at least 3 games, you get half of that. He was on the roster for 3 games. He ripped the Eagles up and down. It was a national story for about 5 days. He just got $15,000. Now, it comes from the NFL playoff pool. The Eagles aren't cutting him a check, but he just got $15,000. Basically from the Eagles, but it came from a different pool. But I thought that was funny. I haven't seen hide nor hair of him since then, but we'll see. I thought he was kind of like mousy to me, or mealy, or just, he wasn't, he could have done better. If you're going to kick off your media career, I think you got to come out, and hit some home runs. I thought he was ill-prepared. I think he was just trying to conjure up some things, and I think at the end of the day, he looked kind of silly. 610-632-0975. Derek in Westfield, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Derek?
Hey, Joe. How you doing today?
Good, buddy. How you doing?
Doing fine. I rate the season as entertaining.
Okay.
You had your ups and downs. Even I'm disappointed and not going any farther than the playoffs or winning the Super Bowl. That's always the case.
Sure,
but
of course.
I'm satisfied for the simple fact that for a bunch of weeks, they were playoff games. We won them. We won a division, and Dallas didn't win. So I don't have to go into the offseason. you know, with the Dallas winning the division. But it was a satisfying season.
You know, Derek, you make a great point. Great point that technically the team played one playoff game. It was against the Seahawks, but they actually played five. That's why, to me, it became gratifying down the stretch because they went 4-0 into that Seattle game. So every game, you know, when they were 5-7 after the Miami game, became a playoff game and kind of added that intensity and the way they won those games coming back in Philly against the Giants and in Washington. And it kind of gave it a playoff atmosphere for about 5 weeks.
Exactly, and I couldn't wait for every Sunday to get here. The last thing, I can see Schwartz leaving. I'm a little sick of him.
You are? How come?
Hey, you know, his defense is never it's just it's that bend no break defense. I really can't stand the no bend defense.
It's uncomfortable, right? It's uncomfortable because you see a team driving down the field almost every other drive.
Yes.
The thing is, he keeps them out of the end zone for the most part, but it is uncomfortable watching teams drive on you constantly.
Constantly, and it's always a chore. It just seems like it's just so difficult for us to get a three and out. And how many third and 14?
Yeah, how many third and longs they give up this year?
Yes. So thanks for having me on.
Derek,
I love listening to you.
Hey, great job, man. Have a great night. Enjoy your weekend, pal. Appreciate it, Derek. Again, a great point that the last 5 weeks of the season, they felt like playoff games. Now, they put themselves in that position, losing to Miami. And again, I still go back to that game. Miami won that game. The Eagles didn't lose that game. Miami balled. They deserve some credit for how they played. Now, you would think the Eagles are better on paper, should have won the game. Doesn't always work that way. I thought Fitzmagic came up with a huge game. Anyway, 37-31, they lose in Miami. They're 5-7. Season's done. And then, of course, Monday night, the Giants game. They're down 17-3 at half. Season's dead, over, buried. I mean, the boos were raining down from the link, raining down on Carson Wentz and company. And he ends up, and this was what, you know, I questioned many times, does he have the clutch gene? And I said, here's an opportunity. And he made good on it. Drove the Eagles down. Well, he drove three touchdown drives. He drove them down with a minute and some left, 20 seconds left. A touchdown to Ertz, and then, of course, in overtime, they had the ball first. They won the toss, so if you score a touchdown on your first drive, you win the game, and they found Ertz wide open to win the game. And then, of course, in Washington, when he found Greg Ward with 26 seconds left, that fade pass, kind of like the Kyle Rudolph thing, when he went over Josh Norman, make that catch, another clutch comeback, and playing Dallas. Dallas has all that talent, and you know the Eagles are what they are. And then going into New York or New Jersey, again, and a 17-17 game in the fourth quarter, and they explode for 17 points, seven of them via the defense primarily. But I thought it was fun. The last five games were fun. The previous, 12 games, not so fun. They just weren't. It was bad football, even when they won. They beat the Jets, and it was like, yeah. Yeah, 31-6. You'd think, hey, that's a great game. Nah, not really. I mean, they got drilled on this radio station, including myself, after that game. I mean, there was some bad football, some good football. They were good playing in elimination games. All right, they were 4-1 down the stretch, and the other two elimination games I recall, one was in Buffalo, where they had to go win on the road in Buffalo after losing those two games to Dallas and Minnesota. And they won 31-13. Then they had that other elimination game. Who was it again? Oh, Green Bay, earlier in the year. They couldn't afford to go down 1-3. And on national television on a Thursday night, Carson Wentz does the deal. Jordan Howard, three touchdowns, two on the ground. And they beat the Pack, another huge win. So they could put it together on occasion. But it was very inconsistent football, and it became, if you thought it was tough to watch when they had everyone intact, and I kind of did, it was the same thing as last year. You know, you're coming off a Super Bowl season, and you're watching this offense sputter and sputter and sputter, and when they would score, it would take 17 plays. And you're like, this is painful. And then it became like 13 games of that. And me and Joe Torti used to do the post-game show. We're just like, it's not a good football team. So this year, you think they clean it up. Carson Wentz back healthy, no back problems, no knee problems, no hand problems. And the offense was pretty much the same thing. And then everyone's blaming it on Mike Groh and the loss of Frank Reich. And it was just, you know, anemic football. It was just anemic football until down the stretch where, again, it became fun and there were four more elimination games. So I count them 6-1 this year in elimination games. See, that's clutch. I like that. When they needed to win a game, they won. Now, against Seattle, all right, they came up short. But, I mean, what can you do? I mean, my goodness gracious. All the guys they're bringing up to catch footballs that were on the practice squad. Again, J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, the only wide receiver who wasn't on the practice squad this year. J.J. Arcega-Whiteside caught 10 balls this year. I think D.K. Metcalf caught 10 balls in that game. He was drafted, right after... what's his name? Arcega-Whiteside was drafted before Metcalf. And who else was he drafted? Oh, and Terry McLaurin, too. Both guys killed the Eagles, by the way. In fact, Terry McLaurin of Washington and DK Metcalf of Seattle had more yards against the Eagles. Against the Eagles than the Eagles wide receivers had against the league. It was incredible. It was, you know, Terry McLaurin, remember him? Game one, caught a bomb, was open on another bomb. Case Keenum overthrew him. And then, of course, DK Metcalf, tremendous touchdown. He goes down, he pops back up. My daughter's like, he's down. I'm like, no, he popped back up. They tagged him after his knee came up. And then the third down play, I mean, that's clutch. He's a rookie making plays like that. Why don't our rookies do that? You know, I heard someone talking about trading Dallas Goedert on the previous show. And I'm thinking, he's one of the few guys they have drafted. He's a homegrown guy who's an impact guy. And you want to get rid of him? They have so few impact guys that they've drafted. Getting rid of them, not quite the way to go. We got to take a break. Steve Cowell's coming up on the other side. I'm Joe Stazak, 610-632-0975. We're coming right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, glad to be back with you here on 97.5 The Fanatic. I'm Joe Stazak, trying to stave off a case of laryngitis. Hang with me, folks. I appreciate it. 3:45 here. I'm on until 6 o'clock. Rob Motti was on the previous show, talked about Jadeveon Clowney, why Doug Peterson didn't come out and make a bigger deal of it. And then he said it's possibly because they might want to go after Jadeveon Clowney in the offseason. Something to think about. I'm going to talk more about that hit and the fine or lack thereof as the show goes on. But we got a lot to cover, and one guy who covers a lot for us and has done it all year and last year as well. He's Steve Callis. He's sports editor of the WestchesterCountyPost.com. He's on the Comcast hotline right now. Hello, Steven. How are you, my man?
All good, Joe. Great to be with you as always.
You too, pal. All right, I've been asking the fans to kind of characterize the season. You don't have to answer one of my answers that I put up on the Twitter poll, but, I mean, with the expectations this year of the Super Bowl and then what they came out with and then what they did down the stretch, you know, with a MASH unit, I mean, how would you kind of, there's so many ups and downs, how would you characterize this season?
I'd characterize it okay to good. Okay, because you expected more. Good, because at the end they were doing it with smoke and mirrors, and they, you know, that Dallas game was an incredible game to me. I didn't think they could beat Dallas. You know, the other games, the Giants twice in Washington, you expect that they can somehow find a way, and they found a way, and they beat Dallas, and they were in the game. You know, the whole Wentz thing, the question popped into my mind. We talked about it on the podcast. So would Nick Foles have won that game? I don't know, but we'll never know. But, you know, he got full credit. Wentz got full credit for playing the whole season. And then he played whatever you said, 8 plays. And, you know, that's disappointing. But what can he do? I will say this. The referee after the game said, this is incredible to me. They said it was, quote, incidental contact, close quote. Now, in 2020, Joe, there's no such thing as incidental contact when it's helmet to helmet. I'm sorry. There's not. And as you know on the replay, I'm not saying the refs could see this, but he got hit in the head twice, right? He got hit in the head by Clowney. He was already tackled three-quarters of the way down, and then he hit the turf with his head.
Yep.
So that's two hits. How that's not at least a penalty, that's kind of beyond me. And was that the difference in the game? Well, Wentz getting knocked out, you can argue, was the difference in the game. But even on that particular play, tack on another 15 yards, you know, you don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I don't like to blame the refs, although I detest referees. But you look at that game, it seems like a lot of calls were going Seattle's way. Like Derek Barnett tried to hold himself up on a big third down play that was incomplete. Seattle was going to have to punt. And he kind of was holding on to Russell Wilson and fell on top of him, got a penalty. Nothing called on the Wentz thing. I'm not complaining about it. I just thought it was interesting.
No, but Joe, that's incidental contact, I think.
Yeah, that's what incidental contact. That's right. That's an excellent point, Steve. Excellent point. All right, listen, man, big weekend. It's not championship weekend, but we have eight teams left, and I love this weekend, this time of the year. It'd be nice if our team was in it, but they're not. First game today in San Francisco. Those Kirk Cousin-led Minnesota Vikings over the Jimmy Garoppolo's out in San Fran. You know, we talked about it on the podcast. Kirk Cousins, our boy, came up huge, and he was huge. He was huge. They're 7-point dogs today in San Fran. Can they be the team that kind of comes out of the season and makes that run that you weren't really expecting this year?
I only give them a puncher's chance. Last week, you know, for the first time in I don't know how long, both Dalvin Cook and Thielen were healthy. So when you were talking about Dalvin Cook running well and Thielen making those catches, that really didn't happen for them. So everybody blames Kirk Cousins. We're kind of Kirk Cousins guys, obviously, but the stats are the stats on him. But he made some incredible throws. I heard you talk about the pass interference on the final play, and that's 100% pass interference based on everything we hear for the last 3 or 4 years. What do they say? If you extend your arm, that's pass interference, offensive, and if you don't, it's not. And clearly, Rudolph, 6'6", 260, pushed on a 6-foot, 190-pound guy and at least stopped him, if not pushed him back. So I give him credit for winning, but I like the 49ers. You know, the 49ers, their defense was incredible early on, but they lost a bunch of starters, and they're getting them back, I think, in some capacity. The question is, in what capacity do they? Are they 100%? But Quan Alexander, the linebacker, is the J.J. Watt of this game. He's coming back from a torn pec. Dee Ford, who we remember from the Chiefs, you know, letting the Patriots win that championship game last year. Dee Ford has been limited in practice this week, but expected to play. You know he can rush it. And then Tart, the safety, is now a full participant all week, so he's going to play. You know, throw in Nick Bosa, Richard Sherman. They got a really good defense. I think they're going to be able to shut the Vikings down. And offensively, they got Jimmy G and the best tight end in the game. So I like the 49ers. I like them minus the 7 or 6.5 or whatever it is. But I think it's more because they're getting healthy on defense. And we like Kirk Cousins, but I don't know that he can do it what he did last week, 2 weeks in a row. I just don't know because it's never happened.
Never happened. No, I agree with you, man. Well, we got 5 minutes to do three more games. Let's take you out to Baltimore, Tennessee, a big win over the champs, 20-13. Can they hold up against a juggernaut like Baltimore?
I don't think so. You got to see if Mark Ingram is 100% healthy. He's got that left calf injury. I do like the Ravens, and I know this is unusual, 9.5, 10, whatever it is, but I would like the Ravens, but I would pick the Titans to keep it close because I don't know anybody recently who stopped Derrick Henry, and the Patriots have a very good defense. You could talk about their offense some other time, but I don't think they're going to shut down Derrick Henry, and that makes Ryan Tannehill the comeback player of the year, I guess. but the Ravens are also plus 97 in the first quarter, so you expect them to get out to a lead. I think they're going to win the game, but I don't think they're going to win it by 10.
All right. Interesting stuff there. Interesting stuff. Lamar Jackson in his second playoff game today. We go to tomorrow's game. Chiefs coming off a bye. You know, they're still stinging from that game you mentioned. Dee Ford goes off sides. Brady throws the pick. It's nullified. And we know what happened after that. The Pats go on to win their sixth Super Bowl. But they're playing a Texans team that had to come from 16 down last week to miraculously win and cover over the Buffalo Bills. Can Deshaun Watson, you know, get it done in KC?
Yeah, that was a beat Joe Stazak day.
That was awful.
From the old days,
that was awful. That was old school.
You were only picking it, thankfully.
Yes.
I don't think they can. I'm still shocked that they won that game and covered. I mean, that was ridiculous. But and everybody's going to say, you know, week six, Texans 31, Chiefs 24 in Kansas City. They had the ball for 40 minutes, and Mahomes had a bad ankle. That's all reversed today, in my opinion. I like the Chiefs. I like them -9.5. Mahomes is healthy. And just as important, the Chiefs' defense in the last six games, they've gotten good. Remember, we talked on the podcast, the Patriots couldn't run the ball against the Chiefs.
Right.
The Chiefs were supposedly terrible against the run. Well, in the last six games, the Kansas City defense has allowed 11.5 points per game. They've given up 5 touchdowns and made 10 interceptions. And most importantly, of course, they're 6-0 in those games. On the other side, the Texans have given up 33 touchdown passes this year. That's fourth most in the league. And again, Mahomes is healthy. So I think the Chiefs get the win and cover the 9.5 in this instance.
All right, so the Chiefs move on. How about in Green Bay? Those upstart Seattle Seahawks coming off the big win over the Eagles, 17-9. They're a 4.5, 5-point dog. In Green Bay, we both love Russell Wilson. Can he kind of outduel Aaron Rodgers today or tomorrow?
I love Russell Wilson, and they're 8-1 on the road, but he has not been good against Green Bay. He's 0-3 against the Packers. They've had 6 interceptions on him in those 3 games. Wilson, as you know, has been sacked 48 times. He's the number one sacked. Even though he's a magician, I agree with you, he's the number one sacked quarterback in the league. And Seattle's 22nd against the run, 27th against the pass. Aaron Rodgers has Aaron Jones, who's become an excellent runner, and he's got Devontae Adams, who last year against Seattle, 10 catches for 166 yards. So I kind of like the Packers, even minus whatever it is, 4 or 5. But yes, you're right. Wilson's a magician, and they certainly can win that game.
And believe it or not, folks, Steve Callis just reeled off those 4 games off the top of his head. You know, that's just information laying around in his brain that he just spewed, all that great information about the Vikes and Niners, Titans and Ravens, Texans and Chiefs, Packers and Seahawks. Great stuff, my friend. And, you know, obviously we enjoyed having you around all year. You will still be a staple of the show as we move on. And enjoy the game. Games this weekend, pal. We appreciate it.
Always a pleasure, Joe.
And you too, Steve. Steve Callis, Callis Remarks, our podcast on my Facebook page. He's also the sports editor of WestchesterCountyPost.com. That was... I said, Steve, give us a little round the horn today. Man, that was comprehensive and exhaustive. That's great stuff. So if Jimmy from Mount Holly, if you're listening, bro, there it was. You asked for Steve Callis. You got Steve Callis in all his glory. Great stuff. We got to take another break. We're coming back. 2 more hours to go. We're talking Eagles. We're assessing the season. The question was, how would you characterize this Eagles season? A, mildly stimulating. B, entertaining. 3, gratifying. Or 4, unwatchable. You can find us on our Twitter page at 97.5 The Fanatic, and give us your answer. We'll update those polls periodically. We got to catch a break. Mike, hang in there. We have a few open phone lines right now, folks. If you want to chime in, 610-632-0975. I'm Joe Stasiak here at 3 o'clock.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.